Well, go ahead, mister. Hey, we're going to call the meeting to order. The Pledge of Allegiance. Trustee Gary Criddle, can you please lead us?
Please stand. Salute. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated.
For the record, show that all board members are present. To all our listeners joining by phone tonight, please note that you will be muted for the majority of the meeting. If you would like to unmute yourself to participate in the discussion, please press star 6 on your phone. Please note that the meeting host will mute or unmute you during the meeting and that an announcement on your phone will let you know when that happens. Thank you. There is no action to announce out of closed session. Board comments? Trustee Davis?
Yes, the one comment I have was one parent told me how thrilled they were that the graduation ceremonies were carried out, and just really was excited that seeing all the kids, the parents, and the relatives, and so I thank them, and you know, and but I was tickled that out of the blue they brought up the graduations. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Crawford.
Yeah, just an echo to all the parents and students and high school seniors that put together grad night at the high school. I attended it. It was a great success, and I don't think they left many kids out. They were actually asking us the day of the grad night for contributions. There were about 4 kids that couldn't afford $100, and we came up with it. So, hey, Penny and all you people out there, thank you very much from the school board.
Trustee Boom?
No comments tonight.
Trustee Doug Crail?
No comments tonight. Thank you.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes, I would like to thank you. Our whole staff and faculty and district office people work incredibly hard, and we are very blessed to have all of you. Thank you.
Trustee Gary Criddle.
Yeah, just to reiterate on the graduation ceremonies, I've had people stop me as well and say, wow, it's a fantastic job. One in particular said, hey, Siobhan Matthews, Marysville High School principal, and her team did a great job. It was short and sweet, and the kids got up and spoke. There were no adults. It was all about the kids. Also, kids stood up to be recognized for their different accolades and awards that they've earned. So it was a very positive thing. So it was really good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I have no comments tonight. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Anyone there from UTA? Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association Number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Dr. Gregel?
Thank you, President Rasmussen. We had no comments tonight, so thank you all for being here.
Thank you. Supervisory Unit. Public comments. For teleconference meetings, please submit your public comment card located on the district webpage at www.mjusd.com under Board before the board meeting begins. Persons wishing to address the board are requested to fill out a public comment card before the start of the meeting, give it to the secretary, board president, or the superintendent. The public may address topics not on the agenda during this section or of the agenda, or ask that they be heard during a specific agenda item. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board bylaw 9323. The Ralph M. Brown Act prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to the comments with the exception of clarifying questions. The California Government Code Section 54954.2.A states, no action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on the posted agenda, except that members of a legislative body or its staff may briefly respond to statements made or questions posed by persons exercising their public testimony rights under Section 54954.3. We did have one public comment card that was submitted at our last meeting. So Jessica Malson. Is Jessica out there? Maslin? Jessica Maslin? Sounds like no. Next, we have the superintendent's report. Mr. Cena?
Thank you. Together, serving every student every day in every way. The state of California has announced that 99% of public schools plan on fully reopening for in-person instruction on full-time schedules 5 days a week in the fall of 21-22. The reason that we can all do this is because of the increasing vaccination rates, the ongoing availability of COVID-19 testing, and the health and safety protocols that are being implemented at all MJUSD sites. As a result, we want families and staff to be confident that schools are planning to safely resume full in-person instruction and learning beginning Wednesday, August 11th. Our journey toward August 11th currently is starting with summer school. So tomorrow will be the eighth day of summer school for 2,400 MJUSD students at 20 sites. Currently, the same health and safety protocols that existed since March 20th, and that we finished the school year under, currently exist. Now, our hope is that next week, around June 30th, that the California Department of Public Health will provide updated guidance that we can then communicate and help prepare students and families and staff for a safe return on August 11th. In planning for August 11th and next year, we recommend the board tonight approve an agreement for facilities master planning services permitting, it's an interactive service, permitting the district to identify, prioritize, update, and most efficiently build and repair school facilities and make the best use of COVID-19 and potential future bond facilities funds. In addition, having held a public hearing on May 25th and made subsequent revisions identified on page 149 of tonight's special reports, the district recommends the board approve the 2021-24 MJUSD LCAP. And in addition, the district recommends approving the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts plan for that's LCAP plan. Approval of these plans in concert with approval of the district's 2021-22 proposed budget for adoption, the district ensures the physical tools, human resources, and instructional materials for all stakeholders so that we can all continue to work together to serve every student every day in every way.
Thank you, Mr. Cena. Next, we have the approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of 6:15:21. Is there any discussion regarding the minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Gary Criddle. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Next, we have the consent agenda. Are there any items on the consent agenda that board members would like to have pulled?
I would like to pull personnel services number 3.
What page, Mr. Boom?
Page 8.
Page 8, personnel services number 3. The entire
just the one from Mr. Cena, just for a quick clarification as well.
So we're pulling the item of Gary Cena out of the certificated resignation?
Yes, please.
Okay. Are there any other items the board members would like to have pulled? Not hearing any, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the consent.
Motion to approve by Trustee Boom. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Hasty. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Allison Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Now we have page 8. Mr. Boom?
Yeah, it was just a clarification. I had a couple inquiries from the public, so publicly we could tell people that, yes, the date has been changed from the end of June to the end of August. Okay. And that's all I had on that. Thank you.
Okay, very good. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Hasty.
Second.
Second by Trustee Gary Criddle. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Next, we have new business, page 11, Buildings and Grounds Department, agreement with PBK Architects Incorporated for facilities master planning services. Purpose of the agenda item is request the board approve the agreement with PBK Architects Incorporated for facilities master planning services in the amount not to exceed $300,000. Mr. Barnett?
Good evening, Board
President. Oh, I'm sorry. Mrs. Lawson.
Okay. Members of the Governing Board and Superintendent Cena, as described in the extensive background for this agenda item, it's been a long time coming. And what I mean by that is that right before COVID reared its ugly head in March of 2020, you might recall the Board approved a request for proposals for a new facilities master plan. We followed all the public works regulations as usual for professional services. We received several responses. Then everything shut down due to COVID. So last month, over a year later, we resurrected the proposals received, confirmed that the proposed prices were still good, and interviewed the top 4 firms that met all the criteria established by the district. And one particular firm rose to the top. Along with fulfilling a variety of other needs, developing a new facility master plan will set the stage for planning for a much-needed school facilities bond in perhaps 2022. And now I'd like to turn it over to Travis Barnett, our Director of Buildings and Grounds, for introductions of the selected firm, PBK.
Thank you, Penny. Bear with me. I had some problems with my internet, so I'm using a Wi-Fi hotspot. So obviously we're bringing this forward. We've had a facilities master plan that was developed in the past, and you know we went through this extensive process of interviewing firms, and like Penny's saying, PBK rose to the top. And the importance of this facilities master plan is to be able to capture state funding, federal funding moving forward. AB 841 came out And a lot of the requirements that we're looking for now for obtaining state funding mandates that we have to have an extensive facilities master plan. So as we went through this process of interviewing everybody and going through what services can be offered, PBK rose to the top. And part of the reasoning that they rose to the top is that they're an all-encompassing facilities master plan, which will include demographic studies. It'll look at all our properties. It'll look at fixtures. And when I say it's extensive, it's a huge in-depth look at what we have. In the past, our past facilities master plan just scratches the surface. So when we move forward looking at this, you know, what we're asking for you to approve, this will help us with eligibility in the future for state and federal funding. So with that, I want to introduce Gary, who's a principal architect with PBK. He's put together a presentation for us to share with you and kind of to go over what we are, you know, what we're going to be proposing and what work they're going to be doing for our district if approved tonight. So I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Gary with PBK.
Okay. Thank you, Travis, and thank you, everyone at Marysville, for this opportunity. And what I'd like to do is do a kind of a just a quick PowerPoint to walk through what our process will be so the board has an understanding of the approach that we're going to take, the depth of what will be involved in this process. And then we will obviously be coming back to the board during the process for updates, to get input and direction on items, and that this process will, you know, take us several months to complete. So if we can start the presentation. Thank you, Brian. Okay. All right. So starting us off again, thank you for the opportunity to talk about this tonight. The master planning effort that we look to start with Marysville Joint Unified School District. So next slide. So first off, just to give you a brief background, PBK, we're a PBK WLC. In October of last year, PBK and WLC came together. We joined forces, and we have now brought forth over 240 professionals in California. We've done over 120 assessments of district facilities, and we are now the number one firm in the country for educational planning and design, but we still come with that small firm attitude. We just have a lot of resources. So as we told everybody in the interview, I will be involved in this every step of the way, along with the staff that we brought with us to the interview. Next slide. So we have completed over 90 facility master plans for districts across California. The map shows all of the places. You can see, you know, we go up north to Oroville, and then we go all the way down south to San Diego, the Bay Area, Los Angeles, up and down the valley. And I'm actually over in San Luis Obispo today. We started their facility master plan and walked all the sites here the last couple of days. Next. So I have some slides that get into the process in a little bit more depth, but just to give you a quick overview, it's essentially a five-step process that we follow. We start with data collection and our kickoff meeting and finding out who's the team from the district that will be involved in the process. We go through some visioning with the district. Then we actually go out to sites and review them. We then develop master plans and projects and costs, and then an implementation plan on how to go forth with this project and with your funding. Next. So through this whole process, there will be community outreach. And this is something that we'll discuss at our kickoff with the district, is to determine how robust we want to go with our community outreach, with our workshops, with interviews, with meetings, whether they're at each school site, whether they're at group school sites. We'll do, you know, will we do newsletters, brochures, flyers? And we talked a lot about putting all of this on the internet for a web-based program, as well as doing surveys in that manner. And so we will go through and determine exactly the approach we want to take with the community and make sure that they're involved, they understand, they get to, you know, give their input and ultimately their buy-in with what the district is doing. Next. So the first step, as I mentioned, is the data collection. That just kind of shows you all the different things we'll be getting from the district in this process. We will also get the demographic study started as we collect enrollment data, as well as getting funding history, eligibility, site maps, so that we are prepared with all the stuff we need to go to each site. Next. Then we'll kind of go through a visioning framework session where we're going to talk to the district to really understand in depth what your goals are, what we're trying to achieve with this, how this aligns with the district's mission, the performance expectations for students, and then we will develop educational specifications for the district. Next. So what educational specifications basically are is they kind of do a merging of learning and teaching with the environment and technology and lay out for each grade within each type of school what the requirements will be for size, for technology, for layout, everything from classrooms to offices to multi-purpose buildings, to create a framework that the district will have moving forward with work on either new schools, new buildings, or modernizations to try and develop equity between the sites. Next. The third step is the actual physical assessments. We'll be out doing the walking, looking at a number of conditions on site. We'll start doing some costing in this phase, and we'll also look at, you know, the educational adequacy, comparing it against the ed specs and against CDE and Title V requirements. Next. So some of the things we'll be looking at, the architecture, the interior, exterior building conditions, finishes, the structural components. We'll be looking at accessibility, roofing, landscaping, civil drainage, paving, utilities, sports facilities. Next. We'll also look at safety and security, which will be fencing, signage, building access, cameras, visibility, which is very important in school design these days. We'll be looking at plumbing, electrical, mechanical, all the technology data, fire alarms, and all those components. Next. So once we've done all that and we have gathered all this information, the community, the district, the on-site visits, we will develop what work needs to happen at each of the school sites, from repair work to correction of educational adequacy issues, to maybe replacement of portables with classrooms or building additional buildings as needed based on demographics that we get from the demographer that will be part of this process. We'll look at the technology guidelines, and we'll also look at, you know, things like sustainability. How will solar panels, PV, all those things integrate into the process? And then develop kind of a final master plan graphic for each site. Next. And this kind of shows what a graphic will look like. It'll be color-coded with a legend, so you'll easily be able to look at each site, determine in the left is kind of an existing use plan of what all the spaces are used for. The one on the right shows what is going to happen to those buildings from demolition to light modernization to new buildings, and how we see it being located on each of the sites. Next. The fifth step is the implementation phase. So now we have all the final costs are developed, so we know what everything is going to cost. We've gotten all our input from everybody. And now we start to look at where your funding is and what projects want to be prioritized to start first. Next. So we will look at things like what we call a facilities condition index, as far as how the school looks. Is it, you know, in great condition? Does it need minor renovation, major renovation? We will have that identified, and then we will work on prioritizing everything from, looking at 1 to 3 years all the way out to 10 plus years, and we'll put different projects into those different categories in this process, working hand in hand with the district and what you deem to be the most important items that you would like to see done. Next. And as I said, we'll explore alternative funding, and we have someone who is on board to be working on that portion of this, the state funding eligibility, what is available, what, you know, can we apply for, what else is out there, whether it's grants, from CTE grants to federal grant monies, the local dollars being, you know, a potential for a bond, developer fees, which kind of fall also into the funding category. So we will take extensive time to identify what those numbers look like, which will also help us in our prioritization of projects. Next. So the costing will be very robust. We will look at all the hard construction costs of the things we identify that need to be done, which includes labors, materials, general contractors, overhead, profit. We will also assign the soft costs so that we get a total cost of each and every project that we do, and include contingencies and cost escalation, so that we have a true read on if we have a project that's going to be done in 5 years, we've accounted for escalation, we've accounted for any other contingencies depending on the type of project, as well as soft costs. Next. This is just an example we showed. This is one we did for Thermalito recently, and we're actually executing a number of these projects right now. We developed their priorities based on how much money they had available to spend. So they had a small bond, so we identified the critical items that they could afford to pay for now and put those in priority one. And then other things fell into later priority years, which are also based on when they might get money and eligibility from the state to help pay for some of those items, or whether they might have to look at another bond or some other alternate means. You can see at the bottom, we identified escalation within these timeframes, and it's a big item that we have to account for, because once we got, you know, 15 years or so out, we were looking at 3% a year or 45% escalation. So now all of a sudden, you know, projects that were 9 million are now like 13 or 14 million. Next. And then ultimately, and this will be part of our discussions at the start with the district and through the process, is we will customize all of this to how you best want to use it. We have found, and we talked a lot about this at the interview, that, you know, I've done so many of these over the years, you can get this nice, pretty binder. But the binder often just kind of sits there and people don't want to read through it. So what the new wave of these are now is to get them online on the web so that you can just pull it up, click from one item to another, and get to know everything you want about your facility master plan. And that is the direction that has been discussed that we will be going toward this. Next. And lastly, this is just kind of a quick look at a project schedule, which we will get more into when we, you know, start the process with the district. It showed us, you know, kind of kicking off here toward the latter part of June and then running this all the way essentially through the end of the year, about a 6 month or so process. So that is how we're going to approach this. And with that, unless Travis or Penny want to add anything, certainly open for questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Gary. And again, you know, just to kind of sum it up, the importance of this facilities master plan is to give direction to the community and our school district and our stakeholders a vision and a roadmap, so to speak, of how we're going to achieve these things. This isn't a facilities master plan that's going to be sitting on the shelf. This will be something that will be utilized and put into effect, so to speak. So with that, like Gary was saying, we'll open up for any questions the board might have.
Board members, comments or questions?
The one comment I have is we're in the middle of a solar energy audit and facilities upgrades. How would that be worked into this plan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that'll be a big component. We'll need to meet with the company that's doing that and providing that so that we have an understanding of what is happening at each of the sites, how it's impacting them, how it's impacting, you know, your power usage and costs, so that we will sit and work with them to get that integrated.
And the second thing is we have Alboga is underway, but also Kublot is in the mix also to basically replace the school.
Right. And, you know, all those things will be discussed after we walk the sites and talk with district staff, what we see, what their visions are, what the needs are, as well as looking at the demographics of, you know, what the enrollments are going to be at each of the sites. So all that will also be taken into account.
Thank you.
Right. I'd also like to jump in on what Mr. Gary was stating with Kovalon. Is this is also something that is great to be able to integrate the facilities master plan because we did the feasibility study. So that information through SiteLogic with our energy program, with the work that's already been done, it won't be duplicated efforts. It will be an all-encompassing. It will be inputted into this facilities master plan. So the district doing their due diligence and doing a feasibility study with COVLOD is right in line with facilities master plan. So I just want to make sure that the board is aware we're not duplicating efforts, that that was a strategic approach for that site, and it will be integrated into this plan.
Other board members, comments, questions?
Yes, please. In looking at the financial impact, the one-time money is there to cover the costs. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. From my budget presentation, we have $9.6 million in ESSER II funds before we even get to the ESSER III, $29 million. And I'm recommending that we use the ESSER II funds to pay for this.
Okay, good.
It's part of the allowable uses.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Other comments, questions? The one that I have for Mr. Gary is the demographics and enrollment projections seem like that's one of the ones that need to certainly be annually updated. And Travis helped me. I think a few board meetings ago, we actually hired a firm to do that for us. So I think maybe we already have that in process or in progress.
Right.
So we can use that data.
Yes, Larry Furchall from Cooperative Strategies.
Okay. If you are having that done, then we can go back and look at what we had plugged in there, and we can reduce our fee.
Okay.
Or I would even just say if we're already looking at that fee, if we could, we're going to need to, I would think, do that annually, so maybe you could pick up the cost of it for doing it in the following years.
That's possible too, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Gary. Thank you, Travis. Thank you, Penny. Board members, any other comments or questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I had a quick question.
Oh, all right. Go right ahead.
No, I was just thinking, you just mentioned if there's going to be some kind of change in cost, do we need to look at it again if this number is going to change?
Well, I think the number says not to exceed. So I think we would probably still be fine with that.
Okay.
But Mrs. Lossing?
Typically in those type of contract situations, like Mr. Rasmussen saying, it's a not to exceed amount. It usually comes in the form of a deductive change order where the district will see at the end of the project, if we don't utilize that full contract amount, that PBK will come back with a deductive change order in the amount that it is. Or we can renegotiate with an addendum to say they're going to add another year of service for updating demographic study. So you won't see change orders, but it always comes in the form, they do their schedule of values of what they're doing. So usually it will come in the form of a deductive change order, but it won't exceed the amount that the contracted amount is.
Right, and we might just adjust the proposal amount to deduct that as we sign it.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Tasty, did you have a question?
I was ready to move to approve the motion.
Oh, okay. So we have a motion. Was there any other comments or questions? We have a motion by Trustee Hasty to approve the item.
Second.
Hasty, second by Gary Criddle. Second by Gary Criddle. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Thank you, Mr. Gary.
Thank you.
Next, we have Educational Services Literacy Action Plan for Cedar Lane Elementary School, grades TK through 3. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the Literacy Action Plan for Cedar Lane Elementary School, grades TK through 3. Dr. Greco?
And actually, it's going to be Coordinator Stratton presenting on this one.
Oh, okay. Hi, Amy.
Hi. Good evening. Back in January, on January 12th, the board accepted the Early Literacy Support Block Grant for $613,140. The first $50,000 of that was intended for Cedar Lane to do a root cause analysis and needs assessment, which will lead up to the literacy plan, which we're going to review tonight. So, Brian, do you have our PowerPoint available? So tonight we're going to review where we've started, the timeline of events, and how we came to the literacy plan. And to do that, I'm going to invite our Vice Principal, Monica Lena, and our new principal, Rebecca Evers, to discuss the process and how we got to where we are. And so, Rebecca and Monica. Hello. Hello, first slide, actually. Let me just the first slide first. So this is just a little background about where the money came from and just what I've already discussed. The 75 slowest achieving schools, Cedar Lane has $613,140, and the root cause analysis needs assessment for the literacy plan. So next slide.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Rebecca Evers. I am fortunate to be able to join the team this evening. The overarching goal for the Literacy Block Grant is for us to provide literacy instruction in support of our TK through third grades. And the focus is solely on improving student learning outcomes in reading and really supporting the professional development of our teachers and our staff in order to help us get there. So I'm going to turn it over to Monica. She has been instrumental in leading this team. And I'm going to have her explain how we got there, what our timeline was, and some of our goals of this grant. And then I'll have an opportunity to wrap us up at the end.
Okay, next slide, Brian, please. Okay, our timeline of events. Once we knew we could participate in this grant, we got right on it, right to work. We assembled the grant team, and we met every Wednesday for a minimum of an hour, up to 2 hours, from January to the end of May. We collaborated as a team on every step of the process,
And then we collected and analyzed our data, and with the help of Sacramento County Office of Education, we learned how to process our data into a literacy plan. And the team crafted three goals that we believe are going to be sustainable past the three-year term of this grant. So goal number one is our next slide. So the first goal is to provide explicit, systematic phonics instruction. We realized after collecting our data and analyzing it that our students were not exhibiting mastery and automaticity with basic foundation skills, like letter naming, phonemic segmentation, nonsense word fluency. So to improve our skills in that department, we are going to use DIBBLES as a school-wide, consistent, common assessment and indicator, and we will get professional development in how to use DIBBLES effectively. Slide two. Our second goal is to provide explicit academic vocabulary instruction. We also realize that our students are inconsistent with their vocabulary acquisition and retention. So we are going to create, we're going to improve this by collaborating across grade levels to vertically and horizontally align our vocabulary lists, as well as create assessments. Our current curriculum, Reading Wonders, is vast with vocabulary. We need professional development and how to access that and to use it better. So that's what we're going to get professional development in as well from the Reading Wonders program. And our goal number three, next slide. Our final goal is to use a reliable and valid assessment tool. The team realized right away that no grade level, sometimes not even teachers within a grade level, use consistent common assessments to group our children, to analyze where our gaps are. So we are going to improve that by using DIBBLES as our assessment tool school-wide, specifically in grades TK through 3. And we are also going to get professional development in that as well. And then the next slide, Brian, please. This is my favorite. This is all of our favorite, I think, one of them. Not only are we going to give the gift of literacy to our students, we also get to invite our families to participate in that endeavor. One of the things that we've got set up right away is a course, 8-week course with PK, which is professional instruction and quality education. And PK is going to provide instruction for up to 50 parents on how students acquire literacy. How do they learn to read? So our students are going to be getting their phonics instruction, et cetera. So are our parents simultaneously. We've also created 3 literacy nights. So the parents can come from 5 to 7 approximately and engage in reading events, utilize our library, and just be part of the school and part of our journey to literacy. Are there any questions on that? Rebecca.
Can you please explain again what DIBBLES is?
Yes, DIBBLES is an assessment tool. It goes from kindergarten to 8th grade. Sacramento County Office of Education highly recommends it. A lot of school districts are using it. And the key component to DIBBLES is it's timed. Prior to this, we had not timed our students in their skills. So to increase automaticity and fluency, those time tests are very, very important. We are also going to use the DIBBLES database. It's a suite. It's called MClass, where the teachers can store and analyze data in real time. They can create groups, and they'll have specific intervention lessons assigned to those groups.
When you say it's timed, can you elaborate, please?
Yes. The DIBBLES tests are time tests. So for letter naming fluency, it's a 1-minute test. The students will look at a page of capital and lowercase letters, all in random order, and they are timed to create that automaticity. Okay. And then the comprehension tests are 3 minutes.
Are these computerized
is it a software program that each child sits at a computer and takes these tests? Have we looked for fluency in the questions and whether that's helpful for the students' grade level?
It seems to be a very successful program, and the students will take it on paper, but the suite that we wish to purchase with the grant allows the teachers to enter the data in real time as opposed to having a stack of papers and tests to collect and analyze a couple days down the line. So this data will also track those students from as long as they're in our school.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and jump in and help answer this. DBLS has been around for a long time. It's valid and reliable data. It goes along with the progression of phonics and how students learn to read. And it's the idea is that kids, if they're not at automaticity, if they're having to think about what a letter is, they can't move past that to learn how to read. It's kind of like when you're learning to read music. You have to know what the quarter note means, and it just has to be right there and automatic. And so that's kind of what this assessment suite does, is it just helps track the data and shows where the holes are so the teachers can pinpoint the specific skill level that's missing.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Rebecca, I'd like to pass it back over to Ms. Evers.
If we have one more slide. Thank you. I was fortunate enough to come in the spring and participate with this team. The literacy team, as you see, we have representation of teachers from every grade level. Of course, Ms. Rain, our vice principal, and Amy Stratton were instrumental in working with Sacramento County Office of Ed. They've done an incredible job. I had an opportunity to sit in with the team when they did one of their final read-throughs and really worked on making sure that all of the goals were consistent across all required areas of the grant. And I'm super excited to come on board and join the team and implement this grant at our school next year. And looking at our scores, our recent scores, and where we are, I think the team has done a great job. They've used the data that they've collected, and we're going to have an opportunity to support training for our teachers, and our goal is going to be moving our kids forward in reaching grade level reading goals. Super excited. Great job, Monica.
Thanks, team.
Any other questions from the board?
Yes, how many teachers and instructors overall for professional development do you anticipate?
Well, it's kind of an interesting question because through the grant, we're able to train all of our TK through third grade teachers. And in working with the literacy team, we are really looking at a need across the school. And then looking at our Title I funding and working with CORE and Sacramento County Office of Ed, we're working on being able to use additional funding at our school site and include all teachers, all grade levels, using this plan in order to support all students in all grade levels across the board. It'll be different funding because the grant funding is specific to TK3, but we have Title I funding and we can expand that to all grade levels and all staff.
Oh, thank you. You answered my other question about the funding for the professional development. It sounds like the DBLS has some really good data that you could aggregate to really measure what's going on there, and I'm excited to hear that. Thank you.
It does. And one of the things about DBLS that I've really enjoyed using it in the past is you can really drill down and really diagnose what's going on with the students, not just the students in general. Like at the end of the year with state testing, we say, oh, our scores aren't so good. We need to improve. You can use these 1-minute, 3-minute tests, and you can drill down to individual students' needs and then create interventions specific to those students' needs. Now, once we do that, as a staff, we need to know how to respond and provide that instruction to students. And so that's all a part of this grant package, and we're super excited to get started on it this fall.
That's great. I'm excited for you guys. It sounds like a great program. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Other comments or questions?
One comment I had was, sorry.
No, go right ahead.
Is that having been on the campus a number of times and the concern about the literacy there is very deep rooted. And I'm really excited to see that we're going to do something different. And luckily, you've got the money.
Yes.
So I'm really hoping that this will lead to other campuses seeing your progress and what you learn from this. I think we have other schools that could use this type of instruction. So I'm really excited for Cedar Lane and for the staff there. And it's nice to see you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Good to see you, too. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things I was super excited about when I came on board and was looking at the professional development that was going to be provided for our teachers, letters is part of the reading instruction that we are going to be provided. And for us to be able to, you know, kind of pilot this and get the results and be able to share out with our colleagues and our other schools, I think is an excellent idea. And we're super excited to be able to do that. The feedback that I've gotten from this training is that it really helps our teachers. Every one of our teachers that goes through this training should be able to understand how the brain works in for students learning to read, the science behind it, and they become that child, that teacher that can diagnose what's going on with the child and really prescribe exactly what that child needs. So, yeah, we're super excited and love to share once we figure this all out.
Any other comments, questions? I would just like to thank Ms. Reyna, Ms. Evers, and Ms. Stratton for the great presentation and good luck with the program. Again, kind of echoing Mr. Davis, I think this will be a great pilot program for our district that maybe we can utilize your efforts for our other sites too. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Rasmussen.
So with that, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Crawford. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Again, thank you very much. Next item, child development. Resolution 2020-21/25. 2021-22 Child Development Program Contract. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the resolution and following contracts with the State Department of Education for the 2021-22 school year. The CPKS-111 Pre-Kindergarten and Family Literacy Program for $5,000. CSPP-1676 California State Preschool Program for $2,501,623. Mrs. Woods?
Good evening, board members. Thank you very much for this opportunity. And as stated in the agenda item, we're really asking for the approval of a resolution and the contracts from the Department of Education that will allow us to continue to provide services for our California State Preschool Program. In our program, we it's an honor to serve the community. We have 9 different school sites as far north as Yuba Feather and scattered throughout the district and as far down as Arboga is as south as we go. We serve about 465 students, and these dollars fund about 60 staff members where we provide part-day preschool 2 different sessions at most of our school sites. So we're excited about being able to continue to serve our youngest of populations in the district. The pre-kindergarten family literacy program, having just listened to Cedar Lane's proposal, we're all focusing on literacy because we know the importance, and literacy development doesn't start in TK. It starts at home, actually, but that is one of our primary focuses with preschool as well. And even though it's a small grant, the $5,000, it allows us to provide training for parents and get books into the hands of the children at home. So you have any questions about our contract with the Department of Education, you can certainly ask.
Any comments or questions, board members? Not hearing any, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Boom. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Doug Krill. Is that correct?
Yes.
Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Krill? Yes. Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes.
Congratulations, Kathy.
Item number 2, Resolution 2020-21/26, the 2020-22 Child Development Program Contract. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the resolution and following contract with the California Department of Social Services for the 2021-22 school year. CCTR-03.07, General Child Care and Development Program, for $236,900. Mrs. Woods?
Again, thank you for this opportunity. And you'll note there are some differences this year with this particular contract. Typically, or in all years past, this contract for general child care is housed under the Department of Education. But this year, they shifted that these contracts to fall under the Department of Social Services. So lucky for us in our office, we're going to have two different mechanisms for housing all of our students, data collection, data submission, and such. But we will certainly make the most of it. What distinguishes the general child care and development program from state preschool is state preschool obviously is the younger students. Our general child care program, we serve children who are ages 5 through 12 who parents are eligible, and meaning in that they're income eligible and that they're working. And so this program, there needs to be a need basis, a need qualifier. So we house these students. We serve about 56 students at two different school sites in our district, at Kynoch and at Covalad. We typically have about 6 staff that operate that program. And different from state preschool, our school-age general child care contract is year-round, and it's full day during the summer. So we're open from 7:30 to 5:30 during the summer months and during holidays as well. So again, we're privileged to be able to have this opportunity and request the board resolution and contracts.
Thank you, Mrs. Woods. Comments or questions from board members? Not hearing any, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Davis. Second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Boone. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boone?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Griddle?
Yes.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Thank you, Mrs. Woods.
Thank you.
I appreciate your backdrop on your computer.
One of my favorite places. For those of you who don't know, this is in the Delta. It's a place called Rio Vista where I like to fish.
Next, we have Superintendent Number 1, the District LCAP Approval and Budget Overview for Parents. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the district's updated Local Control and Accountability Plan, LCAP, and Budget Overview for Parents. Dr. Greco?
Yeah, thank you, President Rasmussen. So the LCAP process incorporated stakeholder feedback from the last 18 months, which is unusual. It includes the year before because the LCAP process was interrupted during the 1920 school year. The feedback from our DAC and DLAC in 1920 were added to our stakeholder meetings from this year, where we met with our DAC, our DLAC, and our district LCAP committee that includes representatives from our labor groups, the board, the community, and our school sites. All of this feedback was brought together in conjunction with the stakeholder informational videos that were sent out, as well as the surveys that were done both electronically and on paper sites in order to generate the draft plan that was brought to the board on May 25th. After the public hearing on May 25th, there were no major structural changes to the LCAP made, and so tonight it is brought back for final approval.
Thank you, Dr. Greco. Board members, do we have any comments or questions? Not hearing any, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Hasty. Is there a
second?
Second. Second by Trustee Crawford. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boone?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Thank you, Dr. Greco. Item number two, we have the MCAA LCAP approval and budget overview for parents. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts, MCAA, updated local control and accountability plan, LCAP, and budget overview for parents. Mr. Malone?
Sorry about that. Hello, everybody. Just as Rocco is here for the district, I'm here for Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts to ask the board to approve the Marysville Charter Academy updated local control and accountability plan and budget overview for parents. Now, last May 25th, I presented our LCAP, our update, and the expanded learning opportunity grant. So today I'm just here to ask the board to approve that plan.
Thank you, Mr. Malone. Board members, any comments or questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Boom. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Second by Trustee Crawford. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Thank you, Mr. Malone.
Thank you, everybody.
Next, we have Business Services, 2020-22 proposed budget for adoption. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the district's 2021-22 proposed budget for adoption. Mrs. Lossing?
Thank you, President Rasmussen. As you know, we held a public hearing on June 15th, and I presented the 2021-22 proposed budget for adoption. This is the final step where I recommend that the board officially adopt next year's budget.
Thank you, Mr. Lossing. Comments or questions for board members? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Second by Trustee Gary Criddle. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Thank you very much, Mrs. Lossing. So that does conclude our open session portion of the meeting. The board is going to reconvene closed session.
Mr. Rasmussen, you wanted me to remind you about
when we get into closed session.
Got it.
Thank you. So we'll take maybe a 3-minute break, and then we'll reconvene into closed session. Thank you, everybody, for participating tonight.